Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, it's Matthew Tosh here, welcoming you to this show and keeping me in check and on a tight rein this week, it's Laura Lanimi.
Hello, Matthew. On this week's show, we'll be delving into the issues surrounding the recent spate of protests against some schools in Birmingham over their teaching of the Equality Act.
Yes, we'll bring you up to date with a No Outsiders scheme and speak to an LGBTQ member of the Muslim faith for their views.
Plus, Terry will be giving us Mag News Roundup in our monthly news mag.
It's all coming up here over the next hour, right on Shoutout. I feel like it's the chill out zone when
it is. I do like it, but I do miss my old like bidum dum dum,
the percussive one.
Yeah, like I feel like everyone misses that. I'm just gonna go with that.
I'm sure if you trawl back through some podcasts, you'll be able to find the dum 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 and you can then tap away and enjoy it.
Yeah, well, don't worry. How have you been?
Oh, you know, me just fine actually. It's good and it's lovely to be back actually. I was a bit nervous earlier because Andy, our main regular presenter, was going to be hovering in the corner of the studio, but he's gone home.
Oh, so we can...
got to do some dusting, I think. Some vacuuming.
While the cat's away, the mice will pay.
Exactly, exactly.
So how are we playing today?
Well, we do have another stalwart of Shout Out Team broadcasting with us, Mr. Terry Starr.
Oh, my favourite.
Starwart. Or just a wart, perhaps. I don't know about the star bit.
I didn't say that. Terry, you were talking earlier. Coming up to a bit of a... You've been on the air for quite some time, haven't you? Am I allowed to mention
continuously,
that?
Continuously, yeah. I first spoke on the radio in July 1989.
Damn. That's a name and shame right there.
I was 15 at the time. Ooh, how old I am.
A little Terry on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, and we've got Hannah.
You have indeed. Yeah, I can't say the same. Hi.
I think this
neither
is
an eye.
Eight. For me.
Not
really?
Yet. Not yet.
Not yet. I've been here for 2 years, to be fair, so it just gets better, doesn't it? Especially with people like Matthew beside you.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere.
I know, I'm just 100% charmed today.
Now, I should say, because we have got new listeners tuning in every week, we are growing. We are reported to be the biggest LGBT radio show across the southwest, and also now branching out into Wales.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. We're on Radio Turcoid.
Radio Turcoid, indeed.
Swansea.
In the Swansea area. So if this is the first time you're listening to us, whether you're listening on a podcast or on one of our stations, then you might like to know that we are here every week with a new show. We broadcast live on a Thursday at 7 o'clock from our home at BCF FM in Bristol, and the show goes out on 11 stations, I think, Terry?
I think it is at the moment. It's 11.
Yeah, covering the southwest and South Wales. Now, we're also online, including our podcast, which you can get on iTunes or by visiting our very own website, which is
shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Look at that, she's good.
I know. Ooh, I hope so. After 2 years, I remember that.
Just remember this imprint, and then we'll go and change the website address. We'll remind you of that as we go through the show as well. So if you miss anything, the podcast is a good place to go and find it on the website, and there's news on there as well, and we'll refer to that a little bit later. Terry's got our news about halfway through the show, but we've actually got a fairly solid focus for tonight's show.
It's a special one, isn't it?
So end of the week, we tend to focus on the stories in a bit more detail anyway, but we've actually turned the entire show over to looking at the No Outsiders. I'm going to call it program. I'm going to call it an issue, because it's actually No Outsiders. It is... it's just a scheme of work. It's an education program in a school that's been developed for teaching about the Equality Act.
Yes.
Which encompasses so many different things other than just LGBTQ issues.
Absolutely.
Which we'll be talking about more later on. But just to say that, it's not just LGBTQ issues.
No, it's wider issues as well. And the whole issue touches on wider issues of integration, religious tolerance, how different communities live side by side.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Lara, because if you listen to just go on the news, you could be fooled into thinking it's about teaching about same-sex relationships. It's not. It was actually formed to educate children about the Equality Act, British values, and diversity, using storybooks to teach children about these things. and one of the things they feature are LGBT relationships, but they also talk about race, religion,
extremism.
Things like adoption, and extremism and disability, you know, things that we all encounter.
And things that we were never educated about. And I think this is definitely going in some way of making a more tolerant society, so we'll definitely be coming back onto that subject.
I think it's something that's going to roll and roll, and
definitely.
We'll be just talking about it in the future as well.
Indeed.
I mean, all change comes as a bit of like millenaring, so
it does.
This is what I feel we'll get into, which can't wait.
Interesting.
The species, the human species, has always been a bit resistant to change, isn't it? Or differences.
I don't really like humans on a general level, so.
Lara, I've got some news for you. You are a human.
Well, yes, I am a human, unfortunately.
I don't like me. No, that's fine. So that's broadly what's coming up in today's show. So we'll get things moving with a bit of music.
Ooh.
And then we'll be back to start talking about the issues. Here we go. It's all here on this show. Press this button with that.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
There's lots of funny shapes being done in the studio here.
Banger.
We like that.
That's Hannah and I have just been at it. Like, yeah.
I haven't cardboard boxed it for quite some time. I was living it.
Oh, no. I was like, yeah, fill the trolley, all that stuff. Yeah. Like,
stack the shelf. Yeah. Reverse the car. Sorry.
Terry's is trying to do the mashed potato in the corner. That was...
Now I looks like a mashed potato.
That was Mel C. I turn to you. And I played that because there's a little teaser because she's going to be one of the people performing at Bristol Pride this year.
Uh-huh.
And of course... Yes, indeed. On the 13th of July, which is up on the Downs this year as well.
I am so excited to be sitting on grass and not hard ground. So,
and if you can't get along, where do you find out what's going on at Pride?
Listen to Shout.
It's been a long day.
I think we're going to be on several stations.
I think
more information soon.
Our lips are sealed for the time being.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we need to get back to the matters because we were talking about the No Outsiders scheme, which has been running in several schools, but Parkfield School up in Birmingham since 2014, formed to educate children about the Equality Act, British values, diversity, and we talked about some of the stories and examples and issues that it relates to. Well, I'm very pleased that we've got Malik on the line from Just Like Us. He's not a stranger to Shout Out. Good evening, Malik.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you all?
Yeah, we're ticking along here. Thank you very much for giving up your time this evening.
It's nice to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Okay. Now, I just want to talk, it's a particularly special time of year because for Muslims, you follow the Muslim faith, it is a particularly special time of year at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's Ramadan at the moment, and that's kind of where Muslims observe fasting. So lots of Muslims all over the world will restrict their eating and drinking during daylight hours, and it's kind of a way for us to focus and reflect and try to better ourselves and become more connected with God and faith.
What's that like during exam season? So you're a student, right?
I'm not a student.
Oh, you're not anymore.
Actually,
oh, you just sound young.
Sound so young.
But what's that like in day-to-day life, as in like work and things? How is that?
It can sometimes be a bit distracting. It can get to you a little bit, but I think after the first couple of days you get used to it, and I think there is that overwhelming sense of kind of peacefulness and calm that comes with it as well. I think it can be a really tranquil time, and I don't think you would necessarily think that by not eating and drinking during daylight hours, but I think that it can really bring that sense of peacefulness to someone.
It must make you value food as well. I mean, I shouldn't bring it back to food, but it must make you value those things and the things that you have in life.
Yes, and I think that's what it's all about, is to make people kind of thankful for what they do have and think about what other people might not have. And also it's really funny because when you get to the end of the day, you think you're going to be able to eat these three meals that you've missed out on, but you can only really fit in like one meal and a dessert, and you're a bit disappointed with yourself, but you've kind of just carry on with it.
Does it bring you, do you feel like it brings you closer to your faith and to your to Allah?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it can be a time like where you really do kind of reevaluate, and it makes you realise what's important and what's not, and those types of things.
Oh, amazing.
Good stuff. Well, the reason we're talking about this is because it's just trying to understand or where some of the voices against the No Outsiders scheme is coming from. Some are from the from the Muslim faith, and there's been a lot of criticism from both sides of the argument. Should people be using religion as an argument? Some people are saying it's incompatible with our faith. Others are saying, well, you've misinterpreted Islam, and it's, to be honest, as a non-religious person, I put my hands up, I am an atheist person, I find it incredibly confusing, and I want to understand what's going on. So can I just ask, first of all, as a Muslim, when you hear people arguing against teaching children about equality, British values, diversity, LGBT relationships, race, religion, adoption, disability, how does that make you feel?
It really, you know, upsets me that people are trying to protest it and go against it, because to me, you can't expect one group of people to be protected when others aren't. And I think that it's just very frustrating that people are using religion to kind of excuse this homophobia, biphobia and transphobia. And I think that religion shouldn't come into deciding who gets taught what, and ultimately, you know, it's the law in this country to teach the Equality Act, or it will be in 2020. So I think, like you said earlier, it's change and it can be scary, but I think if these parents went and looked at what their kids were being taught and spoke with the teachers, they would see that it's really nothing to be wary of. And it's not necessarily telling their kids to go and get into same gender relationships, it's just saying that there are different people in the world just like you are different, and we should all respect and accept each other.
Yeah, so because where do you think it's coming from? Because I've read a news article where it said that they've offered parents a chance to come and view these lessons and to understand them and to really interact with them so that they can see it's not like we're trying to make your children LGBTQ. We're just trying to educate them on the existence of LGBTQ people. Yeah. So where do you think this animosity is really coming from?
I think it's kind of the same with all things that get hyped up and made bigger than they are. I think that perhaps one person has come in and told this lie, and lots of people have bought into it and jumped onto it and thought that maybe this is now their chance to speak up as well. And I think a lot of people are being told things and misinterpret what the heart of the No Outsiders program really is, which is just teaching equality and that differences are okay.
So would you say then that religion is just a kind of convenient handle that they can use as add a bit of extra weight to the argument?
Personally, I would say yes, but I know that a lot of people wouldn't think that, and a lot of other Muslim people wouldn't say that, but I do think that, you know, religion is a choice and sexuality, gender identity is not a choice, and I think that people need to sometimes remember that and consider that when they're thinking about their, you know, morals and their values.
Yeah, because picking up on that, because that's what I was about to ask you, I feel like it's because they feel like being LGBTQ is a choice. They believe that their children can then go on choose to be an LGBTQ person because they've been educated about it. Whereas if they're not educated about it at all, if they are happen to be LGBTQ, there's such a lack of information about that. So do you think it is generally rooted in the fact that their understanding of the LGBTQ community is somewhat lacking?
Yes, and I think I said it earlier that I think that if these parents met with some LGBT plus people, they'd see that we are no different and all we want to be is accepted, just the same way that these parents want to be accepted for their faith or potentially having different backgrounds and heritage. We all just want to love and be loved, and it's really upsetting to see one group of people try to take that away from some other people who are just as much in need of this acceptance and, you know, being seen as equal.
And the risk is, of course, that if people who don't fully appreciate the Islamic faith or any other religion that is being used as a I'm going to say excuse. Now, I realise that could be controversial to some people listening to the show, particularly if you have, you hold particularly strong religious views. But we are aware that some people will jump on that bandwagon, and it can, in return, create animosity towards that religion. There is a big risk of this, surely.
Yeah, and I think everyone's got to remember that Muslim people are also part of those protected characteristics in the Equality Act, and these protests are only adding fuel to the fire in the sense that the Muslim community doesn't, in the eyes of lots of people, have the best reputation, and this could give other right-wing extreme people a chance to hop onto that bandwagon and say bad things about Muslims, and this is not what this is about. I think people need to accept that this is a small minority of people who are protesting, and I don't think it echoes the true values of what being a Muslim is and the Muslim community in this country.
And of course the irony is that goes completely against what No Outsiders is about. It's about understanding differences.
But with that, I feel like obviously when you're a minority group, it's sometimes like, so within the LGBT community, there is like racism that is sporadically involved in it, and people practice that, fetishization and everything like that. Do you not think with minority groups it's very easy to then look to other minority groups and oppress them, because for them it's a lot easier, or it's just something other, it's easier to fight your the oppressed than it is your oppressor? Do you see what I mean? So do you think it's something stemming to do with that?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think when people are made to feel smaller, they will maybe do anything to feel like they have that power back. And if Muslim people and also some Christian groups and Jewish groups are also protesting, I think they might see this as an opportunity to have some power over something in a place where maybe they don't feel powerful. I think a lot of people might use it in the wrong way, and I really don't think people should. And personally, I think if you are from a minority background, you know more than anyone else what it's like to be judged simply for who you are. So I think a lot of people should have more empathy about it, and unfortunately they don't.
I'm going to bring in Terry Starr, our news editor. Yeah. I think he's got a question for you.
Well, I was just going to make the comment, Malik. I think you're absolutely right, is that many of the people watching these protests are not Muslim parents at all, because Christian fundamentalist groups have been trying to get involved as well. This is a wider issue, and I think it's very important for the LGBT community in particular to remember that this isn't an issue of LGBT people versus Muslims. There are many Muslim people who have spoken out saying, actually, we don't want these protests, we just want our kids to be educated at school. And the chair of the Association of British Muslims actually visited the school, he wrote at the weekend, and said there's absolutely nothing wrong with this literature at all. Do you know what I mean? It's teaching tolerance and values, and about Jewish people and disabled people and Muslim people, and, you know, the whole lot. So yes, it's not two communities against each other.
And like it's teaching about everyone being inclusive, isn't it? It's not it's not teaching them how we are LGBTQ. It's just teaching us that they exist. So what do you feel like you would have benefited from something like this as a Muslim person from this education when you were younger?
Yeah, definitely. I was seen as being different at school from, you know, so many different angles, being from a Muslim background, people assuming that I was gay and also not being white. You kind of feel eyes on you and you feel different, and just seeing that you were mentioned in a story, someone like you was mentioned in a story, and people being taught that being different is okay, would have helped so much. And I think it would help anyone that was feeling that they didn't quite fit in, because to see yourself represented on that scale is a massive thing, and it can help so much.
Powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do we go forward? I mean, I'm struggling with this because I come from a teaching background. For me, just teaching children about equality is just a normal thing. But what you have to do in teaching is contextualise. You need to give examples, because up to a certain age, they've got nothing to compare it to. You can't say, well, in a same-sex relationship, because they don't actually understand what that means. So they need to have things like stories to give examples and create those images and pictures of the relationship. Nothing else. We're not talking about any you know, anything sexual here. This is about two people of the same gender, same identity, or different identities being together, just in loving relationships. And I'm struggling how to. I wonder what the way forward is.
Because they said, the teacher said that what they're going to try and do now is invite more of the parents in and trying to get, because some of the parents have now agreed to going in and actually learning about these lessons. But what kind of compromise do you think we could possibly reach? Because obviously these people are at a stalemate. One's believing, well, the schools continue on to do these lessons, whereas the parents are pulling their children out. So what is the natural ending in your point of view?
I honestly just think that if these parents had a more personal connection, so if, like I said earlier, if they met with LGBT plus people and they met with the teachers and went over the content, they would see that, you know, it's all PG, it's all very much accessible for children. Like, these are storybooks about two male penguins bringing up a baby penguin. Yeah. It's nothing about...
Yeah. Do you think
how gay people work or anything like that? It's just very, very for children, and that's why it was designed, and that's why it works.
Do you think, though, might be contentious, but do you think that it's the job of the LGBTQ Muslims to educate other Muslims about this? Because obviously you have a better understanding of your faith and your rituals and everything like that. So do you think it's within your community that it needs to be sorted out, or is it everyone, it needs to be educated from the outside?
I think it can work both ways. I think if LGBT Muslims are more open talking about it, then other Muslims will maybe be more inclined to listen, because that's a common ground there. So yeah, that would work. I also think that the teachers engaging with the parents is very important, and I just think that it's a bit, it might put a lot of pressure on people to kind of suggest that it's down to them to teach others, although I do think that is certainly
an option.
A good thing.
Yeah.
It could also maybe put other people, like LGBT Muslims, maybe in danger.
Yeah, no, safeguarding is important.
Well, one of the things I've learned over the years, I'm saying old now saying that, but one of the things I've learned is that if you don't understand somebody, you don't understand their beliefs or their issues as a disabled person, go and talk to them. Go and get to know them. They are a human being. Have a conversation. Ask the questions. I'd rather people ask me about, you know, being, you know, bisexual, pansexual, however I identify, if they don't understand it, rather than going off and making assumptions, because that's how things get distorted.
Well, like I said last time, you could use videos, like we discussed, didn't we? Like we said that you can go on YouTube, you can go to look about. So even if you don't want to put yourself out there on as a LGBT Muslim, it would be good for you to go and research it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good that we have this, you know, wealth of information on the internet, and whilst a lot of it can be misleading. I think that's where some of these protests have gained traction, is from misleading quotes and things on the internet. I think it is a really powerful tool, especially for young people looking at things like videos on YouTube and stuff. I think it can be really helpful in gaining an understanding, and also people from outside of the Muslim and LGBT plus community, I think it's really helpful to educate yourself. And whilst it's okay and very good to ask questions, some people, like myself, if people ask me questions, my first reaction is to get a bit defensive, because that's just how it happened to me at school. And if people ask questions, it was, you know, in a mean way. So I'm just kind of programmed to be a bit more defensive about it. But I think if people are willing to answer, then definitely have conversations with them. But I think a lot of it is down to educating yourself and kind of looking for this yourself. And people won't have to do that in the future if the No Outsiders programme continues.
And it is important to ask them first before you, well, to say if it's okay to question them before you just go and launch into, are you gay and things like that.
I probably should have said that earlier. I was like, yeah, come and ask a question.
But
no, you do. It's about being respectful, isn't it, at the end of the day? Which is what this flipping program's about. So, listen, Malik, this conversation, I'm sure, is going to continue, and we'd love to have you back on the show in the future. Thank you so much for giving your time this week. We really appreciate it, and I know our listeners will appreciate it as well.
Thanks for having me again.
Absolute pleasure. Malik Haddington Ahmed from Just Like Us. I'm sure we'll hear him on the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Right, it's a shout-out, and we're about halfway through the show. Time for some music.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Schmokin. That was a version of Take Five, slightly different. It was by the Soweto String Quartet.
What an instrumental piece. I do love a string quartet. Yeah. I used to play violin, so.
Oh, do you?
Same. Yeah. Well, badly. Terribly. That's my one claim to music.
So. In a slightly reggae style like that.
No, I haven't got that kind of skill.
Right. It's time for news. So we shall cross to our news team.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 30th of May.
A couple of weeks ago, we reported that a leading but somewhat unsung ally of the LGBT community had passed on. We promised to bring you something of an obituary in his memory, so here it is. Richard Green, a distinguished psychiatrist who used his intellect and insight to help people with mental distress, has passed away at the age of 82. He lived the last years of his life in London, but made a name for himself working at university in the United States. As early as 1962, he had testified in favour of a Nicaraguan man who was at risk of deportation due to his sexuality. However, his most significant achievement was in publishing articles that explained to other mental health professionals that, although gay people could be mentally ill like anyone else, there was no evidence to suggest that homosexuality or bisexuality are in themselves mental disorders. Like Sigmund Freud, he found that there was no pathology in same-sex relationships, and that happy and healthy gay and bi people were capable of equal achievement in the arts and sciences, in sports and research. The American Psychiatric Association did finally delete homosexuality from a list of mental illnesses in 1973, although transgenderism and BDSM sexualities would remain on the books for many years. In 1979, Green turned his attention more fully onto gender dysphoria, and he helped to found a network called the Harry Benjamin Gender Dysphoria Association. This is now known as the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. Green also possessed an insightful legal mind and helped the American Civil Liberties Union with several key litigations in favour of LGBT freedom. His son told Pink News that he had passed away surrounded by friends and with the gratitude and respect of people whose lives he had helped.
Andrew Moffat, the school teacher who's pioneering No Outsiders programme for schools, has been subject to protests by conservative religious groups, was the march leader at Birmingham Pride at the weekend. The major event, which saw 80,000 people defy homophobic groups, was this year more political and celebratory. Mr. Moffat was joined at the front of the parade route by Kakaan Qureshi, founder of Birmingham South Asian LGBT, and Sima Rasak from Supporting Education of Equality and Diversity in Schools. This was an important gesture of solidarity between the LGBT and Muslim communities at a time when exasperated LGBT people have been taking to the internet and arguing for more harshly enforced secularism as a result of parental protests against inclusive education. The head teacher of Parkfield School, where Mr Moffat teaches, told BBC Radio 5 Live that the majority of parents and teachers were now tired of the protests, which have seen extremist literature distributed and misogynist as well as homophobic slogans being shouted at children. The police and security services are believed to be in possession of some of this literature and pursuing their own investigations into the organisers of the protests. Meanwhile, the school is seeking to have an exclusion zone set up around the school to protect children from protesters. In essence, this will be similar to a groundbreaking exclusion zone created around an abortion clinic in London last year, where the protesters were largely Christian fundamentalist groups.
And staying with these protests, the feminist campaigner from an Arabic background, Yasmin Rehman, wrote for the National Secular Society at the weekend. The NSS campaigns against intolerance, and its president is the former Gay Times columnist, Mr. Terry Sanderson. Yasmin says that for a seasoned campaigner such as herself, the whole protest affair reminds her very much of the Satanic Verses furore back in 1989, when she said ideologues used Salman Rushdie's famous novel as a means to whip up hatred. Then she said the leaders of both Conservative and Labour parties united to ensure that democracy did not give in to the demands of the protesters. She urges the same solidarity with schools now from both government and opposition. Once again, people are protesting about something many of them haven't even read, she pointed out. She added, the protesters are not simply a group of misguided or misinformed parents. She claimed that it was a coordinated effort to force the schools in Birmingham to accept a religious agenda. The demonstrations, she said, outside Anderton Park School were organised by a man who does not even have children at the school, one Shakil Azfar.
Meanwhile, Paul Sohuddin Armstrong, the chairperson of the oldest Muslim organisation in the United Kingdom, revealed this week that he had visited Parkfield School to find out for himself the nature of the materials that some Muslim parents had been protesting over. He said that he met with Andrew Moffat and they were discussing that No Outsiders programme. Mr Armstrong chairs the Association of British Muslims, which has been operating since the reign of Queen Victoria and has much more experience in living Islamic values than any group associated with the protest. Far from indoctrinating children, writes Mr. Armstrong, the No Outsiders programme is in keeping with Islamic values of tolerance and community cohesion. It features Jewish, Muslim, LGBTQ, disabled and refugee people. In a moving piece of solidarity, Mr. Armstrong said, our Islamic religion places a great deal of emphasis on adab, that is manners and respect, and teaches that everyone is our brother or sister, if not in faith, then in humanity. I suggest we refocus on this point and take another look at the No Outsiders programme, for from what I have seen, this is something everyone could benefit from. Indeed, we should have more of this type of programme, not less.
And finally, shopping ethically is one of the ways in which we can defend and advance human rights in a culture which is money-driven and where business speaks volumes. Well, IKEA is a company that has a long tradition of support for LGBTQ inclusion. Indeed, its reputation for advancing equalities was so strong that back in the 90s, a lesbian action group used to march under a banner reading DIKEA, rendered in the company's memorable font. Now, reports Gay Star News, shoppers in the United States will be able to purchase a Pride flag-themed shopping bag, the proceeds of which will go towards the human rights campaign, a long-standing Washington LGBT lobby group. Raphael Fantuazzi, speaking for IKEA, said, to show our commitment to equality and inclusion, from the 1st of June, our co-workers will hoist a Pride rainbow flag at all IKEA locations. Local listeners might like to know that there are branches of IKEA in Bristol and the Welsh capital, Cardiff.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I'd love to carry on with that. That's Bellahead, Faking and Fair. Just mixing it up a little bit with a bit of folk music. We've got a big...
Such fun.
I like a bit of folk
music. That was said with feeling, wasn't it? Now, Terry.
Hi.
News mag section.
It is, yeah.
Kick us
end
off.
Of the month.
Yeah.
End of the month. Well, this is a programme which is a kind of a special in a way. You know, I don't think we've done a sort of special on a political or social issue since Mrs. Thatcher died. And I have to say, that was a very divisive discussion as well. Not within the studio, but an issue which sort of splits people's opinions and has... earned sort of fiery rhetoric on both sides. But, you know, as I said when we were talking to Malik earlier, it's very important to remember that the whole issue of Parkfield School and the other schools in Birmingham where there have been protests by certain groups of Muslim parents, that it's not a debate that should be polarised along the lines of the LGBT community versus Muslims. You know, there have been many Muslims who have spoken out on the issue of the school protests and come to very different conclusions. We mentioned in the news that the chairperson of the Association of British Muslims, which is actually the oldest Muslim group still operating in the UK, founded in 1889. Now, he visited the school, examined for himself the literature in the No Outsiders programme, and he said, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And he actually wrote, and I think it's worth quoting from him, because it's a really reasoned and rational voice in a debate which has become very polarised. And I have to say, some of our colleagues in some of the larger media have been guilty of exacerbating that and sort of pitching people against each other. So Mr. Paul Saladin Armstrong, who is chair of the Association of British Muslims, wrote, "Our children deserve better," he said, "than to have their education interrupted because of unfounded allegations and people believing things that don't stand up upon a closer examination. Let's do right by our children and ensure that they get a wholesome, inclusive education to which they are entitled." He said that he found nothing in the No Outsiders texts for primary school children, only which was offensive. He said it was only age-appropriate stories that included some parents that were disabled, Islamic, Jewish, or in a same-sex relationship. But there was no question of sex, sexuality, the mechanics of sex, nothing like that.
I mean, God forbid when we actually do move to sex education and modifying that. So, yeah. But this has nothing to do with that, right?
I think that's like a very important point to make, yeah.
Can I come in? Why do you think people get so obsessed with that bit? Why do they focus on that?
Because that's what, to them, is a profanity. I feel like they, as soon as... Because you got to remember, you guys surely know that, well, being gay has been stigmatised for so many years that a lot of people still hold on to that old view because they haven't been educated about it, which is exactly what this thing proposes to do.
I mean, I heard on the radio actually earlier today that mediation has actually at the moment broken down. Mm-hmm. It has broken down between representatives of some of the protesters and the schools, which is a bit of a shame. And as the news mentioned, the head teacher of Parkfield School says that she was now looking with the police at setting up an exclusion zone. As we said, similar, you know, and again, similar to what was put round an abortion clinic in Ealing, I think, a Mary Stopes clinic. So again, it's part of a wider issue. And I think in some ways it reminds me, you know, the contrast with the abortion protest,
because just thinking about that,
for both groups of fundamentalists in the abortion case, Christian fundamentalists, it's a wedge issue. It's nothing kind of to do with the actual issue itself. It's a way of imposing a kind of religious view on people. You know, I think that's an important analysis.
I was thinking about that woman that was being shielded with the coat and taken in as the last person to access a specific abortion clinic. And there was a lot of hate and antagonistic behaviour towards her, and it's sort of that similar.
It's just people jumping on to that bandwagon and keeping on this rhetoric that it is bad and we are teaching all this horrible stuff, but we like to remind listeners it is not that.
Well, it's actually about love and equality
and sharing
and
that
kindness.
That's a good point to make.
Indeed. And it's I'm sure we'll be talking about it on future shows as well. Terry, as ever, thank you for your summary. We're going to take a little break and then we'll be back to round the show off.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Clean Bandit there, featuring Sean Paul and Anne-Marie, Rockabye.
Yes, I love that song. Me and Hannah are again jamming to it. Her move's not quite as good as mine.
Got my weekly workout.
I sometimes think this studio is turning into a nightclub.
It definitely should be.
There we go. Yes.
So, what have we got?
We've got some news that's come in today from the transgender transgender health issues will no longer be classified as mental and behavioural disorders, and the big changes. This is from the World World I can't even speak.
World Health Organization.
Thank you. I'm going to put my dentures in.
Yes, Hannah.
Boom. They're on a major.
WHO.
A major change. I think it's going to be as impactful as the declassification of homosexuality was in 1973/74 by the American Psychiatric Association.
Yeah, because Hannah was saying, I don't know, it might, it's an overhaul of all what's been done currently, no?
Yeah, they're going to have to completely relook at the assessment process, what that entails, you know, even how they approach people that come to them requesting support for these types of difficulties. So I think it's going to be very interesting.
It's moving in the right direction.
I really hope so.
I think so. We'll have to discuss it in future editions. It's going to be a major issue breaking,
But it's very positive anyway. In the meantime, I think I need to go and get some denture fixative and fix my teeth. It's not doing very well here, am I?
Exactly. Get your cane as well. Walk out.
Indeed. Well, now, look, everyone, we've made it to the end of this show, so well done.
Thank you.
Just before Matthew goes for his evening nap, it's time to tell you about next week's show, where Andy Shilton and Andy Hall will be looking ahead to the Queer Spirit Summer's Festival.
Oh, you're so kind. Now, you've been listening to Shout Out with Matthew Tosh and Laura Lelamy. It's produced in Bristol and is broadcast from the BCFM studios, where we all wish you a very pleasant week. So until next time, goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.